And we return. It is today's Topical Currents. Joseph Cooper with you. Bonnie Berman's on a short vacation and she'll be returning Monday. Well, South Florida schools are back in session. You can probably tell from the traffic. Of course, that means lots of breakfasts and lunches for youngsters. And joining me now is chef, author, and syndicated columnist, my good friend Linda Gassenheimer. She always stays on top of public school nutrition. And, of course, today we have experts on hand, as usual.
We certainly do. And, of course, when school starts, what is the one of the question? What's for lunch? What's going on with the school meals? So we have somebody to help us with that. We've got new news for us. Penny Parham, she's the Director of Food and Nutrition for Miami-Dade County Schools. Welcome, Penny.
Hi, thank you.
Nice to have you with us. And Mary Mulder, she's the Director of Food and Nutrition Services for Broward Schools. And welcome, Mary.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
She drove all the way down to Miami for this, so that's wonderful. Thank you. School lunch program is our topic. Do you have any questions or maybe comments? This is your chance to get a hold of these people and talk with them. Call us. It's 800-743-9576, 800-743.
There's never any complaints WLRN. About school lunches ever, of course.
Right. Are we having email today?
Yeah, that's radio@wlrn.org.
Okay, so join us. We'd love to hear from you. Also with us is our favorite wine columnist. That's Fred Tasker. He's joining us by Skype, and you can read Fred's wine column in today's Miami Herald. Fred, are we going to drink today?
Oh, we can't.
Well, we're not going to talk about wine matches for school lunches, I'll tell you that. So we'll come up with something else.
Maybe something for the parents?
Might be.
Or maybe the teachers might need it.
The teachers, everybody after school. We're going to talk about happy hour, maybe. How's that?
Okay, that sounds good. Well, let's start with Penny Parham. What's new for your school lunches this year?
Thanks, Linda. And we always appreciate you having us on in our back-to-school as we get our kids back in. And this year, we're really continuing to focus on our fresh choices, fruits and vegetables. A big push last year was promoting school breakfast, and our schools did a great job reaching more kids with our school breakfast program. And this year, we're expanding our after-school snack, and we're calling it Snack Plus, so that we have a more substantial offering to the students that are part of after-school care programs.
Well, that's a lot. That's a lot in one sentence that you're doing.
Well, right.
So for one thing, we'll talk about the breakfast program just a little later, but
okay.
That's a free breakfast for everybody in Dade County.
Right, that's right.
Yes, not need-based. Anybody can have it. And then you have you're getting fruits and vegetables and all that are regulated, actually, to be on the trays.
Right. We were just talking about that earlier along with Barbara. Last year, the federal government's rules were implemented for all the school lunch programs, and we had to serve a fruit or vegetable. Now, we've always offered it, but last year it became a requirement to actually serve on the tray.
Well, we'll get on to that in a few minutes to find out what happens to those fruits or vegetables once they're on the tray.
Right, right.
Okay, Mary Mulder, tell us, what's your news from Broward?
Great. Well, we've got some exciting things happening this year in Broward. We are adding to our selection of fresh fruits and vegetables. Last year, if you recall, we implemented individual servings of cucumbers, celery sticks, and baby carrots. We are this year going to implement sweet peppers, prepackaged peppers for our students to try. As far as it goes for our fruits.
Wait, when you say prepackaged?
Prepackaged. They're already portion controlled.
Okay.
You mean bell peppers.
Right, a sweet pepper, small sweet pepper for our students. We actually expanded on that last year. We have tastings at our schools once a month, and our students had the opportunity to taste sweet peppers, and we had an overwhelming success with those. So we're actually going to put those on the menu this year.
So the students get to have a little say in this.
You are correct.
That's a good idea.
You are correct.
It's a very good idea.
And
what else?
We'll continue with our fresh fruits. We have cantaloupe on our menu this year, honeydew, fresh strawberries, grapes, pineapple push-ups, so we'll continue with that. As Penny mentioned, something with breakfast expansion, we are also doing a push for breakfast expansion with grab-and-go carts. In addition to that, we are expanding our after-school supper program.
Wow, this sounds wonderful.
So now you're into supper.
You are correct.
When you say supper, is this for everyone? I mean, how does that work? I mean, are the kids tethered to the school throughout?
No, they're not tethered. We work in conjunction with the Department of Health, And a school will complete an application along with the Food and Nutrition Services Department to ensure that the school is providing academic and enrichment activities. It's also based on free and reduced eligibility. The application is approved, and then we begin service anytime after 2 in the afternoon with lunch or with dinner.
With dinner. So if a child is going to be in an after-school program of any sort, they are allowed to have a Is it free or do they have to pay for it?
If the program is approved by the Department of Health and the application obviously is approved, then the student at that school will eat at no charge.
Wow. And Penny, you have this a similar kind of program.
Right. We've been providing after-school snacks for some time. And then this year what we're doing is we're expanding it. So there's a more substantial offerings for the amount of food. And we're calling it Snack Plus because it is at the schools where there is the enrichment program or the after-school activity, and then we provide the food. So it's a similar description of what Mary was saying, but also part of what's available at the school after school for the kids.
How important is good nutrition as far as relating to performance in school?
Well, I mean, yeah.
Have you done any studies? I mean, we automatically think it is, and we've seen some anecdotal results, but have there been any real studies?
Yes, I think there has, and they also show improvement with performance in things like math and the cognitive performance when kids have proper nutrition in the morning, breakfast, and activity. So I think there are studies out there.
We work with organizations as the Florida Dairy Council and an organization out of Washington, FRAC, which is the Food Action Research Committee, and they have provided research for us and documentation of the data, how important breakfast is at the beginning of the school day. So what we're doing is in Dade County is we're expanding on these grab-and-go programs so that we have alternate locations available throughout the school campus so that students do have the opportunity to have breakfast before they move to their first class.
For many of these children, it might be the most balanced meal they'll have in a day.
You are correct.
So let's explain this because that means that what time do they have to get to school early to get this free breakfast or how does it work?
Well, yeah, breakfast is offered before the school bell and that's true. And you need to get there about a half hour before the bell for the class is when we're offering breakfast. But a lot of kids are en route, or it's good to get there early anyway with traffic and just, you know, logistics. So that's when breakfast is served. And Mary,
What happens if I have an elementary school child? They're going to get a free breakfast. I have to get to work. So it's great. I'm going to drop them off, and I have to feed them at home. Is there any supervision? What happens to these students who are on campus early?
Sure. Yeah. In the Broward schools, we have administration that is available during the breakfast period for supervision of all students on campus. So when the parents are dropping the students off prior to the start of the school day, their students are being watched.
Same, absolutely. The students do have supervision, and there is you know, adult guidance there in the cafeteria, and it works out really well. It's a good idea, Linda, because of the traffic patterns, and it just ensures students are in school on time, ready to learn.
Well, I mean, to me, I would take advantage of it in a second. It's free to everybody. And same in Broward?
In Broward, we have 80 schools that are on universal breakfast. So at those 80 sites, students have the opportunity to have breakfast at no charge.
And so when you say grab and go, is it in a box and they can sit down and eat anywhere?
Yeah, we offer them. We have box breakfast. We have bags that have the fruit and the cereal or maybe a granola bar that's all complete, ready to grab and go as well. And we offer a hot breakfast in addition to the grab-and-go choices.
So you can go into the cafeteria and have scrambled eggs?
You can go into the cafeteria, and we still offer scrambled eggs and grits and other hot items.
I'm surprised the parents don't come in and have some breakfast as well.
We do some promotions where we do invite parents to come in, and that's, you know, as the school year progresses, we'll have those type of activities going on. But yeah, we have the hot breakfast in the cafeteria and then also grab-and-go choices throughout the campus.
Right.
And that's the same in Broward, and mm-hmm. We're expanding those grab-and-go choices this year.
Wonderful. Now, you've been talking about these fruits and vegetables, you know, your cantaloupe and your grapes and everything. I'm ready to go have lunch. So, and you mentioned that the Department of Agriculture, is it that has been doing this?
Yes. The Florida Department of Agriculture now oversees the child nutrition programs as part of the state, and they've been tremendous. They have done such a great job in promoting fresh fruits and vegetables, local and regional farm connections, helping us with monthly promotions for fruits and vegetables that are in season. And also they've provided training opportunities for staff. And so they've been a great a partner in really promoting healthy choices.
So now it's a regulation that it's got to be either a fruit or a vegetable on that lunch tray.
Right.
Correct?
That's right.
Correct.
So how much of that is actually eaten by the student?
Well,
they've got blank looks here for a minute.
And I'll tell you, Linda, that's actually a very good question, which is one reason that we have expanded the choices and the variety of the fresh fruits and vegetables
right.
that we serve.
Exactly.
As I was listing those fresh fruits and vegetables at the beginning, we're trying to entice the students, trying to give them the opportunity to try something they have not had. This year, we'll be expanding more with some strawberries on the menu. We did try that last year. It was extremely successful. Last year, we had blueberries on the menu in our yogurt parfait. So we're doing what we can to entice the student, to have provide the opportunity for the student to try that item that they may have never either even seen before.
Now, if I were a student, could I also still go to the vending machine and get a Dr. Pepper?
Well, not.
There you go.
Not in Miami-Dade.
It's not allowed in Miami-Dade.
And in Broward, our superintendent is forming a committee so that all of our vending machines will be supervised by our purchasing department so that we are accountable for what is going in the vending machines. And we're working forward and progressing with that.
All right. So let's go into, I think we need, before we do, we need to take a break.
Yeah, let's do that.
Yeah, we'll take a break first. I'm Linda Gassenheimer, and we're talking with Penny Parham and Mary Mulder about school lunches. We'll take a short break here, and we'll be back with more. And we're back. I'm Linda Gassenheimer, and we've been talking with Penny Parham. She's the Director of Food and Nutrition for the Miami-Dade County Schools, and Mary Mulder, she's Food and Nutrition Services for the Broward Schools. We've been talking about school lunches, the breakfast, after school snacks, all kinds of delicious things that sound great. But it's time for Dinner in Minutes, which is a really quick and easy family-pleasing dinner, great for these back-to-school nights. And it's called teriyaki turkey with cashew rice. And it's based on using you can buy a low-salt teriyaki sauce in the market. You can even buy your sliced onions, your sliced red bell peppers, or you can slice them yourself. Some bok choy, or you could use any kind of cabbage, and garlic. Cut that all up, put it in a hot wok, and stir fry. It only takes about 3 minutes. It takes you longer to cut up the vegetables than to
stir
fry. What
if you don't have a wok?
You could use a skillet.
Okay.
Okay? All right. As long as you got a pan.
Just wondering.
All right, good. Well, you're paying attention. That's good. And then some cut up turkey breast, fresh turkey breast. Buy it in the market. And stir fry that about a minute. Depends on how thick you've cut it. Then I mix a little cornstarch with water. Add that to the wok with the teriyaki sauce. Toss it for another minute. It's done. That's like a 5-minute cooking session. Now, my recipe, I call for cooking your own rice, but why not use a microwavable rice, a quick cooking rice? Cook it up, toss it with some cashew nuts and a little oil. And that's your dinner in minutes. The whole meal could take you maybe 15 minutes, including your prep time. The complete recipe and photo, it's at dinnerinminutes.com. And please follow me on Twitter. That's at L. Gassenheimer. Fred, you told me you're drinking today. Or not just today.
Well, not just today, but now it's time for all you school kids to go out and play for a minute because I'm going to talk to your mommy and your daddy a little bit. Here's something interesting, actually, that seems that wine is becoming more and more an integral part of everyday life in adult America. That's according to a report by the trade group called WineBusiness.com. I've reported before that the U.S. took over from France a couple of years ago as the world's biggest buyer of wine. That's in total consumption, of course. On a per capita basis, it'll take a couple more centuries before we catch up to them in that. But a survey by the Wine Market Council last year found that 57% of all U.S. wine drinkers are what they call core drinkers. That means they drink wine on a regular weekly basis, not just on holidays. And that 57% is up from only 34% in 1970 when they started doing that study. Now, core wine drinkers bought 175 million cases of wine from shops and supermarkets last year, up almost 5% from the previous year. But these aren't super expensive wines. The average price was only $6.30 a bottle, because I don't think anybody wants to spend $30 a night on wine. In restaurants, wine continues to be a weekend luxury to a lot of people. On a weekend, weekday evening, 45% of diners buy restaurant wines priced under $30. But on Saturday nights, two-thirds of the restaurant diners will spend between $30 and $74 a bottle. So I need to get some friends like that. By age group, it's no surprise that baby boomers, now ages 46 to 67, are the biggest consumer of wine. Of course, they have the most money. But the millennial generation, which is the people from beginning drinking age up to 36, are now reaching the ages where they will have the interest and money to consume more wine. And every year, 4 million more people reach the age of 21. Now, it turns out that some types of wine buying taper off after age 67. In the young millennial generation, 48%, according to the survey, would buy a bottle of wine to take to a ball game or a concert, compared to only 14% of those over 67. And it makes sense. It was just stunning how few senior citizens I saw the last time I went to a Lil Wayne concert.
Well, I don't know where you get these numbers. I know a lot of people who are all ages who are drinking wine, Fred Tasker.
I'd like to see Fred at the Lil Wayne concert.
Oh, you caught me on that one, huh?
Let's go to Scott in Miami.
Oops.
Hello, there, Scott. Scott, you're on the air. Hi.
Hello, good afternoon. I had a question. You're talking about strawberries, blueberries, and so forth for the school lunches. Are any of those fruits being sourced locally? Because, I mean, strawberries are a big industry down around Homestead, north of Lake Okeechobee and Lake Placid. They're starting to grow blueberries like crazy up there. Are we trying to source these things closer to home?
Oh, that's a great question.
Yeah, we're both here nodding.
Sure,
our heads,
we're both nodding our heads, Scott. Yes, they are. And in addition to that, we'll be putting items like corn and green beans on our menu that are grown locally starting in September. So,
and
yes, we are doing
that.
That
comes from the local farmers direct to the school.
That's right. And, well, we might have a distributor, but yes, we put a lot of effort into making the connections so that we get local and regional grown produce. And also the Florida Department of Agriculture has helped us with a lot of those connections as well.
So how can you afford that? I mean, it's wonderful. I'm delighted. But
sure. We purchase items that we can afford based on the seasonality of the item.
Mm-hmm.
So based on our purchasing power, based on our menu planning, based on our contacts with the Department of Agriculture and our local vendors, we're able to do that.
Okay.
Yeah.
So now, you know, what happens is that a lot of parents will call in and say, you know, we don't get this, we don't get that. I'm sure you've had enough of them. So give us some tips on how parents or teachers can get the most out of their school cafeteria. What's your advice to parents?
Well, we definitely would like parents to go into the cafeteria to you know, see for themselves the choices that are available, talk with their children. In Miami-Dade, we have our website, we have our menu, we also have our online payment, which is called PayPams. If parents do pay for lunch, it's a great way to keep track of not just the payments, but it allows you to see what your child has selected in the cafeteria. So it really gives a good idea of what they're selecting for their lunch every day. And we really try to engage in the communication so that if there's a request or a problem or something that you know, they would like to have clarification on, we're available to help, you know, get that information to the parents and have them informed on what's available in their school.
So if the parents pay up front online, then the kid can't, go and buy candy bars.
Well, it's great.
They don't have the money in their pocket.
Right, or they don't, or the opportunity to lose it, you know. So it works out great if you can do the online payments.
Right. And we have something similar in Broward. We have schoolpaymentsolutions.com.
So then you know exactly what they're buying.
It's wonderful. You can pull up the sales on your student's account, well, your child's account, and you can see exactly what they had purchased on their tray.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And so now, if a child comes home and says, well, I didn't have this or I didn't have that or whatever, what's the best way to get a hold of you?
Well, Mary, for me, you can reach anybody at our staff at nutrition.dadeschools.net. There's the administration, and everyone's email is there. My email is penny@dadeschools.net. So
And you do want to hear from them because you can't absolutely have your eyes everywhere. And yep, so if there is something wrong, you need to know.
Absolutely. And we really like to engage in the communication, and we circle back with our schools and our staff, and we do welcome the communication from our parents.
Okay. And Mary, I'm sure that you, if just quickly give your name out.
Most definitely. Mary Mulder at BrowardSchools.com, as well as our telephone numbers on the website.
Great. That's wonderful. Well, it's been a really interesting week. Penny Parham, thank you for stopping by.
Oh, thank you again for having me.
On the hot lunches, there's no more of that old runny canned spinach?
We have great fresh spinach in our side salads and our entree salads.
Yes. It's a good thing you don't have him at the school. Okay. Penny's the Director of Food and Nutrition for Miami-Dade County Schools. Mary Mulder, Director of Food and Nutrition Science for Broward Schools. Thank you for being with us.
Thank you for having us.
Well, I know this is a very busy week for you, both for the first week of school, so really appreciate your being here and giving out this information. Well, Joe Cooper.
And what are we doing next week?
Well, I want to thank you for being here and all the food I'm giving you.
It's my pleasure.
And Fred Tasker, great advice as always.
Always a pleasure.
Okay, you want to know next week? Mm-hmm. We're going to have Bon Appetit magazine editor Adam Rappaport. And he's going to give us tips for our Labor Day barbecues, all about grilling. I'm Linda Gassenheimer. Join me then.